To God be the glory for the great things that he's done. God is an awesome God. And I'm happy, glad that he has allowed me this privilege and this honor of standing and speaking his word. Ushers, you may take your seat. Sister Linda, if I could sing, I would sing, I will trust in the Lord. And those of you that know me know I don't know but one line. And I just keep saying it over and over and over and over again. I will trust in the Lord. We're back. Why don't you learn another line? I'm trying to perfect that one line. I'm trying. I'm working on trusting in the Lord. Don't have nowhere else to go. And I could go somewhere else if I wanted to, but I don't want to go anywhere else, because just this little bit that I know about him, know about trusting him, is enough to hold me. I will trust in the Lord. I'm going to be before you as long as he'll let me stay. Trusting is the assured resting of the mind of one person on the integrity, honor, justice, and love and truth of another sound principle of another person. The trust which Christians have in God is an example of his faith, God's faith. The greater the trust, the greater the degree of faith. The Bible tells us to have complete trust in God, and it shows us the blessings of it. Trials and temptations are to be conquered by our belief in Jesus the Christ. We do not see Jesus, but we do trust him. The word trust is in the continuous tense of the Greek verb. It never stops. You trust and it continues. Some things end, but your trust in God need to be a continuation. It need to just run on and on. It need to be like some of us when we get to talking about our favorite subject. It just run on and on and on. And everybody else get tired of you talking about it, but you just keep running and on. That's the way our trust is. It needs to be that way in God. It is believing and never ceasing to believe. And it's trusting in Jesus the Christ. If we are to continue to believe in Jesus Christ, then we are following Christ. We are doing what he said for us to do. We are not rejecting and turning away from him because of the temptations that come. Standing firm and relying upon his presence and power to conquer and to carry us through whatever trials and temptations may come. Just because I'm trusting in him, it does not mean that I will not have trials and temptation. They will come, but I will trust in the Lord. And I say this, and I sometimes I don't know why I say it, but anything that gets to me and it gets to be a trial, it has gotten by God. God said it's okay. You want to be a problem in Macedonia? That's all right. Come on. Between God and me, we'll take care of it. But God's first. God, nothing happens to a child of God that does not get God's okay. And I know you're Bible scholars, and I know you've read the book of Job, but that's not where I'm going. Dr. Michaels at West Florida Baptist Institute would say this is free. Job, the devil couldn't bother Job until God told him it was okay. God recommended Job Ask him, say, have you tried my servant Job? That's a recommendation to go and try. Have God, are you walking so holy that God can recommend? Can recommend you to the devil. Say, have you tried? Yeah. Be recommended by God to the devil. Let the devil come in. In chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, David is there. And he's going out to see about his brothers at the orders of his daddy. Go out there and see about them boys. And one place I read where three of the oldest boys were there. One of them that was a head shoulder above everybody else when Samuel went to anoint David for king. And I watched him. Animated thing of that yesterday, and David was a little ruddy boy in that animated I call it a cartoon, but it wasn't a cartoon, and I do watch cartoons but he went to see about his brothers, and the one of them, according to the Bible, was taller and bigger than the rest of them. He was tall and handsome. Probably had a 28-inch waist and a 17-inch bicep and a 40-something-inch chest, and he looked good. About 6'6", and David's down here. But see, sometimes, help me, Holy Ghost, your stature doesn't make you the man that you need to be. Doesn't make you what you need to be, because every now and then, they said, a good piece of leather, a small piece of leather, well put together. God, when God puts something together, it's okay. It's okay. David went to see about his brothers at the order of his daddy. And when he got there, he found something that he did not quite like. And he set out to do something about it. Y'all, I need to say this. I don't have any points today. You're going to have to make your own. But I got my message. I don't have any points, but I got my message. So David went to see about them, and they were down there on one mountain and one on the Philistines on the other mountain. And there was a valley between them where they were supposed to go to war. And Goliath had been there taunting them for, the Bible says, and by about 40 days. Send out your best man. Let him come, and whoever win, this is baggage. It's not like, but you send your best man, and we're gonna send our best man. And Goliath was their best man. Stepped out there, he could play in the NBA today, and would make Shaquille look like he's short. About 10 feet tall. And now try to imagine in your mind, if you can, seeing this giant of a man standing out there, and he wants one of us to come fight him. Are there any takers? That's the way our problems are, that the devil sends our way. They look 10 feet tall. In the little animated cartoon that I saw yesterday, one day or other, I saw something that said that when Saul was there listening to him doing all this ranting, and this is not in the Bible, y'all. It's not in the Bible. So I don't think you'll find it in there. Said a little boy walked up to him and said, "Are you going to go fight him?" And Saul didn't answer him, because Saul was the king. And the king's not supposed to be afraid of anybody, because the king's supposed to be able to take anybody. But he could not say he would go out and fight this man. And he did not go. So when David went to see his brothers, and he started talking about what he was going to do, or what he could do, when he found out that this uncircumcised Philistine was taunting the army of the living God, See, sometimes God will put stuff in your way that nobody else would want to mess with. But because you can sing, "I will trust in the Lord," you will take up your arm and you go to war. And this is what King David did. He rehearsed what he would do. David was trusting in God. And David knew that God had the power to deliver him from the hand of the Philistine. David knew that God's people, and this is something we need to get in our spirit, God's people don't have to take a back seat to nobody.
Amen.
I'm somebody because God made me, and God didn't make any junk. Somewhere in his word, he said everything that he made was good and very good, and I'm one of those things that he made. That's the attitude I see in David. He was not afraid of Goliath because he had been battle tested. Some of us are afraid of the devil because we haven't been battle tested. You need to be battle tested. When you're battle tested, you have been in the war. You got some wounds and some scars to show that you've been in the war. Somebody did you bad on the job. You might have lost your job because they did you bad. You got battle scars. Because you are God's child, you may knock me down, but I won't stay down. Because there's something on the inside of me that will raise me up, because I know the God that I serve. He said he would not leave me nor forsake me. I will trust in the Lord. Well, David rehearsed what he said. And if you are an only child, you are at a disadvantage. You need some siblings around you. They may treat you bad, and if you're the youngest, they may beat you up, but that's all right. But God will provide. So David said what he would do around his brothers. His brother tried to embarrass him. David, you're standing up here running your mouth. Who do you have watching those few sheep we got? Trying to make him feel bad because he was telling about what thus said the Lord. And another thing that's not in the Bible to me, he was making his brothers look bad because they wouldn't go out and fight. They're hiding themselves and they're talking about how ruddy David is, but they themselves would not go. At least David said he would go before he went, but he said that he would go. He said, "I will go fight it." He had the courage to go out and fight it. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is going ahead in spite of the presence of fear. Something on the inside of you won't let you not go because you have something stirred up down on the inside of you. So David told him, said, "I'll fight it." Then you heard him when he read it in the word. He said it was rehearsed in the ears of Saul what he would do. And then Saul asked him to bring him to him, and he carried him to him, standing before Saul. David demonstrated a strong confidence, declared that the army should not lose heart, not let their heart fail them. He said, "I personally will go fight him. I'll go myself." Well, and you know what Saul said. He was looking at him, and he looked at him and said, "You just a young boy. You don't have any business going out there trying to fight him. This is an experienced warrior." See, that's why I help the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. That's why you don't need to try to fight the devil yourself. You need to call on Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. Why you say that, Baggy? Because he's already defeated him. He defeated him at a place we call Calvary, and he's down for the count, and he can't get up. God will provide, but you got to know yourself, who you're trusting in. You can't trust in yourself. I will trust in the Lord. I'm trusting in him, y'all, because I know I'm not where I am because of myself. I'm where I am because God deemed it necessary. God will provide when you walk with him and don't know where you're going, don't know how you're going to get there, but you said, Lord, I'm a coming. I'm on my way. You got to go. That's what this life is. It's a journey of uncertainty because you only know about now. That's why the word said, now is the time, not tomorrow. Now is the time. Don't say what you're going to do tomorrow. Talk about what you're going to do now. Do it now, because don't backdate what you're going to do. Do it now for God. That's what David said. He said, I'll fight him, and I'll fight him right now. Well, Saul finally consented to let him fight him, and when he consented to let him fight him, he had his armor there, and he tried on Saul's armor, and when he tried it on, the book said it was a little too big for him, and David didn't want to wear it, didn't know how to tell the king no. See, sometimes you got to look at the authority, and in the name of Jesus Christ, you got to speak a word, and when you speak a word, standing on a word, the word will exalt you, because you're not standing on your own. So David said, I'll fight him. And I can just hear him saying, oh king, I don't mean to insult you, but can I not wear what you got for me to wear? And I can hear King Saul saying, what you gonna wear? He said, I'm wearing the armor of God. When I got on the armor of God, everything will be all right. You can't penetrate it because it's the armor of God. Don't need man-made armor. I'm trusting in the Lord. Somebody got something that's weighing heavy on you and you don't know what to do with it. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm walking in the Lord. I don't know but one line of this one either. It says, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me where you want me to go. David said, I'll go and fight him. Well, and then it come time. See, you can't just talk this talk. You got to walk the walk. If you're going to talk it, you got to walk it. David said he'd do it. And then it come time to put up. You got to put up or shut up. And David put up. David said, I'll fight him. And he fought him. Well, I saw one where he was up on a hill, and King David, he said, what are you? You think I'm a dog? You coming out here to me? You have nothing, and you coming to fight me? His sword. Yeah, had a man. He had another man carrying his armor. Yeah, David come out there with nothing. Nothing. Look like nothing. That's why you can't see what God look like. Because whatever you need, that's what God look like. Whatever you in the need of, God look like it. Because everybody else may see it as nothing, but God. Well, out there in the battle, in my mind, I see Goliath standing up on the hill. I see David out there with him. And David, somewhere I read one of them books or something. I read where he was standing up on the hill, and David saw him, and David started running towards him. Started running. That wasn't going away. See, that's what hurt some of us with our situations. We start backing up, going away from them. And the farther you get away from it, the bigger it looks. But when you start towards it, the problem ain't so big, because you're seeing it in the eyes of God. Now God is bigger than anything. This God. David started running towards him. And he killed him. Y'all know that. But let me tell you this. Somewhere I read that before David got to him, he stopped. There was a brook running across the crystal clear water. David looked down at the brook and he stooped down and said there was five smooth stones. David didn't pick up one stone. He picked up five. He picked up five. I know. It's only one of them, yeah. But somewhere I read he had four brothers.
He had four brothers. He got five stones. That's one for King for Goliath, one for brother number one, brother number two, brother number three, and brother number four. See, sometimes we just want to get rid of the problem. That's a problem right now. You need to get enough stones to kill all of your problems because God got it. David picked up the stones, put them in his bag, and got one and put it in his sling. Went towards Goliath, the big giant, standing up there. Somewhere I read, I heard some preacher say once, and it sounded good, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but it sounded good. Said, David, put that sling, that rock in that sling. And said, he said, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And he turned it loose. Now, I don't know how good David was with shooting that slingshot, but I know how good God is. In one of the movies I saw, that Goliath helmet came down just like this, with metal right around his eyes, and it showed a picture with a stone. God never misses. He always gets what he shoots at. He was shooting at Goliath, and it hit him right between his eyes. And he fell to his knees where he should have been before. He should have been on his knees before praying and talking to God. But he was coming against God, and David put him on his knees. And he had told David somewhere in the conversation that, I'm going to feed you to the fire. And when David, he hit the ground. David didn't even have nothing to finish him up with. Oh, I know, he got something. He went and found his sword, got his sword off of him and cut his head off. Why are you telling us that? Because God have taken some things out of your life and you left it with his head on it. Yeah, go back and cut it off. Go back and cut it off. Cut it off. Don't let anything about it stay alive. Kill it. And if you kill the head, some of us old enough to remember when you were in the cotton patch, if you saw a snake and you killed it, they just tell you, beat the head. Because if you beat the head, kill the head, the body gonna die. That's what David did. He cut his head off, took it, and carried it to King Saul. Now, I don't want you to miss this. David was not a warrior before. He was a shepherd. But he started doing something to me then that he should have been doing all along. He started trusting in God and not himself. He believed God because of what God had done for him before. God had helped him to kill a lion and a bear. And David took that. God, there's not a one of us in here that God haven't gotten us through something that we should not have gotten out of. And what we have done, we have forgotten what God got us through. And we're thinking about what we're facing now. Go back and get what you God got you through and stand on that and take it to God. And God will provide what you need. We forget how we got to where we are. I will trust in the Lord and lean not to my own understanding. Whole lot of people, I wasn't born this then, but I heard this said that in 32, when the Depression came, people would eat a chicken and the chicken would still be walking around on the yard. I know you can't see that, you can't visualize that, but they would eat the chicken and the chicken would still be alive because they ate him right here, and they ate him right here. In this word. This word will provide just what you need. But you have to get in this word to find where it is. You have to find nuggets. Yeah. Nuggets in this word. Well, say, no, devil, you're not going to take me out. And then he's going to ask you a question. Why? You can tell him, say, I remember. I remember where God done brought me from. I remember when I didn't have a job. I remember when I didn't have clothes to wear that was sufficient to wear. But God brought me through. I remember when things didn't seem like it was gonna make it. When everybody seemed to be against me, but I kept pressing my way. Sometimes you got to go. You got to press your way when you don't see your way out. You got to know. You got to go and say, I will trust in the Lord and I'm walking by faith and not by sight. We want to see the end. Sometimes you got to go and not be able to see the end. You got to go because you know who holds the future in his hand. You got to walk with him. You got to trust in him. And God, you'll get in situations where nothing, money, acquaintance, friends, or nobody can get you out of. But then you will say, I will trust in the Lord. Your money, you don't have enough money to get out of it. You don't know enough people to get out of it. That's when you got to do like Hezekiah. You got to turn your face to the wall. And then you got to tell God, do you remember when you told me that if I'd stand on your word, that you would not leave me nor forsake me. God, and I'm standing on your word. Things are difficult right now, God, but I know that things are going to get better. I know they're going to get better because everything is in your hand. You created everything and you know everything about it. You made a way when there was no way. That's why we need to still trust and depend on God. I got to get out of your way, but I got some scriptures here I need to let you know about. Listen, John chapter 3 verses 15 and 16. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you trust in him and lean and depend on him, everything will be all right. You got to get out of yourself. You got to know who you're trusting in. And when you trust in something in this God, you might not see the end, but you know he got the end in his hand. I constantly say this to Macedonia. God sees me in three different places. He sees me where I used to be. He see me where I am now, and he see me where I'm gonna be. He sees me out of the stuff that I'm in right now. Got pain in my body, but God see me when I don't have pain in my body. Got an aching in my head, but God see me when I don't have an aching in my head. My stomach's growling and I need something to eat. God sees me when I don't need anything to eat, because he's my God. I'm trusting in him. I'm leaning and I'm depending on him. I'm not depending on myself, because I'll let myself down. Listen. This is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. I don't have time to read it. If I try to read it, I'll blunder through it. But let me tell you what it was. Jehoshaphat was a priest, and he was going out to war, and didn't know how he was going to make it. But he had the people to fast and pray. And after he fast and prayed, that's why y'all ought to watch out how you're singing. The first somebody he put out front was the choir. Put the choir out front and said, go and sing praises unto God. And that's your battle axe. That's your warrior. That's what gets them ready. It wipes them out. God will provide just what you need. I'm talking about trusting in a God. I'm going to trust him because I don't have anybody else to trust. Everybody else would have already left me, but God would be all right. I'm trying to quit y'all, but God, I love you because I know I can trust you and you will not leave me. My mind, I wrote myself a note up here about Brother Noah. Brother Noah had never seen rain, but yet he built an ark and preached the word of God for 120 years, expecting God to bring rain. You talking about trusting God. You can trust him because he's faithful and he will not leave you, nor will he forsake forsake you. God is an awesome God, and he's trustworthy. Listen, we cannot see grace, but we can trust God to know that he has grace. He brings grace is his mercy. That's his favor. I'm glad that I got favor with God, because I'm trusting in him, and I'm leaning, and I'm depending on him. You got to trust him. He'll put you in a place. If you don't trust him, you will have to learn to trust him. We think just because I get saved, I'm going to trust him. No, you got to go through something. And while you're going through, things get difficult. Seem like you can't make it. And you will find yourself saying, I need you, Lord. Will you stop by and see about me? I'm down here in Crestview, Florida. And these people just won't do right. They're always contrary. They're trifling. And they just won't do right. But God, I'm trusting and leaning and depending on you, because you're worthy. Listen to me. Homecoming, family and friends. If you can't trust in God, homecoming will be a disaster. Family and friends will be a disaster if you cannot trust in God. You ought to trust in God more than you do family. Trust in God. God will draw the family, because the family is the first institution that God started. He started the family before he started the church. The church come out of the family. Families are important. That's why church families are so important. Church families. Families are so important. Family and friends are so important. Homecoming. We all looking for the great homecoming. When we go home to be with Jesus. But you got to learn to trust in him. And lean not to your own understanding. Now, in the last 100 years, we have grasped and have intelligence have boomed. Everything is based on intelligence. But God is still the same. It's still the same. Every Bible starts out, that's a good Bible, starts out with in the beginning God. Nothing else. Ain't changed. Still God. He's still in control. And we have to learn to trust him. We have to learn to trust him. You're not born trusting God. You have to learn to trust him. And that's why you need to study his word. Study his word. And you will learn to trust him. I'm through. Extend an invitation.